Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Cantina MX Football Podcast. We're back with episode 301. Before we get started, just want to make sure everybody in Mexico is okay. There was an earthquake earlier today, so hopefully everyone's out there safe listening to us live on YouTube. We're going to go over the World Cup qualifying matches that we had over the weekend, and we got another one coming up tomorrow. Want to hear from the panel tonight. Joining us tonight is Joel. Joel, how we doing?
Greetings, Jaime. Doing good. Doing good. We had a pretty good jornada of World Cup qualifying.
Yes, sir.
That I think it's going to leave many Mexi fans that were feeling salty after some defeats, some choice defeats. I think right now they're reeling in joy.
Absolutely. And we got the Florida man, Chiquis. How we doing?
Hello from sunny Florida. Doing well.
Awesome. Well, I mean, let's get right into it. World Cup qualifiers kicked off on Thursday. And I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit of nerve-wracking against Jamaica. Mexico found a way to win. And they got the victory over Jamaica. It was Alexis Vega. But then they missed a sitter thanks to Piojo Alvarez. Missed a sitter. And on the immediate counterattack, Jamaica tied up the game. And Henry Martin bailed us out in the 89th minute. And then we also had Mexico surprisingly on the road beating Costa Rica. It was a little bit tight at the end. Costa Rica started to pile on, but they held on to the results. And gentlemen, Mexico are perfect record, 6 out of 6 points. Did you guys think this was going to happen, or is this a little bit surprising?
You got me on the recording, man. We got my prediction on the recording.
Oh, yeah?
Well, what's the chickies refresh?
I think that's... I'm pretty sure I said 6 points, man.
Damn.
I was expecting four. I did four. But I've been a Tata apologist. Even with three, I would have been fine.
Yeah, I'm over here eating crow. You know, I thought it was going to be maybe 4 points. But these are some big boy victories, especially on the road. And, of course, winning at home. That is something that the current Nations Cup and current Gold Cup winners could not do. USA tied both games. They have 2 points. They're not even, if this was to end right now, they wouldn't even make it to the World Cup. So did we fret? Did we stress? Were we too hard on this Mexican team over the summer?
Yes, we sounds like too many. I mean, I remain faithful to Tata.
Oh, heck no, dude. He couldn't figure out the bunker against Jamaica. He was struggling. He needed to get saved there. Vega did good and Martin did good and everything, but there was a lot of times where they were unable to beat that bunker. It was glimpses of against the U.S. in the bunker. And then this game against Costa Rica, okay, it was away. So it was a good result, but it was a penalty. There weren't very many chances for Mexico. The ones that they did have, the fanboy's main man, Funes Mori, was not up to the task. And he's got 0 goals in these 2 games for qualifiers when it counts. And Martin, who everyone's been hating, actually has the big boy goal. And hopefully that continues.
Not,
hopefully,
everyone, Chiquis. I had faith in him too.
Yeah.
I did. I wanted him back when he was at Tijuana. I actually wanted Chivas to go after him, and he didn't. He's not those fancy strikers, but he gets clutch goals, and that's. I'm good with
Not so far, though. Not in the clutch so far. The thing that annoyed me, and I had the chance to, on this last game, listen to the CBS broadcast in English, which wasn't.
I'm sorry about that. How was that?
It was typical. Like, it was actually worse than, like, I think Eustis and them. At least they, you know, have some excitement and do sort of a good job. But this was like the worst statement, and we've seen it before from Farias, where she was just fanboying it up for Funes Mori. And it wasn't because, you know, throw out some stats for Monterrey, his clutch goals for Monterrey, all the goals he scored for Monterrey, like throw out some stats or something, but it's more like the support she gives to him is more because of all the hate for him being a naturalized, or, you know, because she is exactly that. And they even had like a little clip today, a discussion that they have of how it is to be a Mexican American or mixed national,
right,
in the U.S. and stuff, which is good and everything. But just to support someone because of that, because, oh, he might be getting hate and he needs to be supported, and he's as Mexican as everyone else and all this stuff is ridiculous. So there's other, like, I mean, she did sort of a good job.
But you know, Chiqui, sometimes, sort of, though, sometimes they have to play that angle where it's like they have to have some type of story, some narrative accompanying it, so that they could have like a talking point. And that could have been something they were going after, like have him as a focus or a focal point during the broadcast.
I mean, she didn't focus too much on it, but she did definitely give her support, like made it known. But they also made it known that he was missing. Like, he missed two clear opportunities, I believe. One for sure. The header that went right to him, and he missed that. So, and my statement still stands. There's no refuting my original statement on why he shouldn't be there. The Mexican national team is a representation of the country of Mexico and its soccer, and that's just not what these guys are. But anyway, 6 points. That's good, at least.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how we win. It's just important that we win. Let us not forget about the 2014 CONCACAF World Cup qualifiers, where Mexico, out of 10 games, only won two of those and had to play against New Zealand for the 32nd spot of the World Cup. So things could be worse. I mean, we've already matched that Mexican team from 2014 with two victories. And no one's going to be really thinking about, well, you know, it was a bunker against Jamaica and it was an unconvincing game against Costa Rica. It was a PK and a very cringy PK celebration by Orbelin Pineda. But
people love that thing, though, man.
It's easy for us to say those things, though, huh?
What was it? I'll come in after you. After you finish your thought.
No, I was just saying, like, Mexico fans, a lot of times we have these expectations, and that some of these games should be easier, but we're not the ones playing. You know, we don't know what it's like to actually travel into some of these countries or to play these games. And I think we go off of the media again. I'm going to attack them again because they put this narrative out. They're the ones that push this idea, you know, and we could go back to La Volpe with this. We'll qualify walking, you know. And he had that qualifier, a lot of the teams, if you go back and you look at the squads and you look at the players, they were pretty weak, you know. And that happens sometimes, which is why we have such a poor opinion of the region. But on average, it's pretty difficult. And Mexico has struggled a lot throughout the years, not just like 4 years, but just throughout the whole years. You could go back to 90. We could go back to World Cup 94, because that's since Mexico's been. That's since they've been qualifying on a regular basis. And to get there, you know, it took them to the last match against Canada, you know, Abuelo Cruz scoring that goal. And we've had other goals like that against Canada again when Bozo scored the goal, or else the team wouldn't have made it to the hexagonal. And so, you know, I don't know how, why Mex fans forget that. It hasn't always been an easy ride. There are qualifiers where the team's going to struggle a lot.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes to show, you know, you throw everything out the window. The goal is to get to Qatar as quickly as possible. So having two straight victories, yes, that's just the best. That's the perfect start. How do you guys feel about our chances against Panama tomorrow?
Is it at home or is it away?
No, it's on the road at 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, Panama has been the second best team.
That's right.
I think Mexico pull out the draw, you know.
They're not gonna go perfect 3-for-3.
Well, I think Panama's been if Panama plays it right, you know,
mm-hmm.
they would settle for the draw. Cause Mex is the type of team that, you know, you open up and they will, you know, they will get you. So I do think if they play their cards right, they could continue being up there in the points. So I wouldn't risk it against Mex. If I'm I'm seeing this from the Panamanian side. So if I'm Panama, I'm like, well, all right, if there's a rival, I could, you know, I could respect it's going to be these guys.
So Panama beat Jamaica 3-0.
That's right.
And so Jamaica's been the worst team.
That was in Jamaica too. So that's something that Mexico was not able to do. And one thing that I will give credit to the CBS Sports team, they actually brought up that Mexico was playing in an empty stadium. At the end of the game, if Mexico had been 0-0 like they were, or what was the score? It was 1-1?
It was 1-1. Yeah, it was 1-1.
Yeah, so I would imagine the Azteca fans would have been, you know, a little bit restless, a little bit booing. The pressure might have been there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so most definitely.
They would have started booing within 10 minutes.
It might have been a good thing that stadium was empty and that they were able to play without that hassle. although
I know it's kind of crazy to think about that, but it actually did end up becoming an advantage for Mexico not having the fans there, I think, because the fans would have turned on him.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? So
I think Mexico, that was actually something fortunate for them, but I think they can, that's pretty sad. Pretty sad to sort of an insult to the CDMX gente over there. But
they've always been like that, like sort of like if you're not playing to entertain, they will start booing. They've never been very supportive of the selección.
And, you know, let's...
Well, they support. Like, I remember one of my earliest... It was in 96. I was in Mexico City with family. And Mexico played, I think it was an Olympic game. That was one of my earliest memories of when I arrived with the family. The game had just ended. And everyone was, like, in there. They were supporting. They were watching the game. They were in their, like, jerseys and stuff. And... But at the end of the game, it was just a tone of negativity of, yeah, we lost like always, you know, just like these guys aren't good, you know, no sirven para nada. And they're just like, it was that whole attitude. So when things go good, yeah, sure, it's good. But when things don't, then, you know, you're going to get criticized, you're going to get blamed, you're going to get disrespected and stuff. And I think the U.S. team is sort of seeing a little bit of that.
Absolutely. So how do you guys feel about the comments about the Costa Rican coach saying that Mexico is giant among midgets? Or maybe I'm paraphrasing that. what was the quote, Chiquis?
The quote was...
Get giant among midgets.
The king of CONCACAF is just a king amongst enanos.
Enanos. Like that.
And actually, it was another quote by the Panamanian coach had another golden truth, a truth bomb, just like the Costa Rican coach. Do you guys have that? Do you remember that?
No.
No, I don't. refresh our memories, Chickies.
Wait a second.
You know, there is truth to what he says, but at the end of the day, he's making the rest of the region look bad. You know, because
he made himself look bad.
He is taking credit away from X, but at the same time, he's saying these teams aren't worth, you know, they're not worth
much. On the grand scale of things, he's looking at the grand scale. So, like, if you compare Mexico or CONCACAF to all the other regions, well, at least the two big regions, then they don't stand up.
Yeah, but that's not Mexico's fault.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, it is.
And that's the whole thing with Mex at the end of the day, where it's like you can't say, oh, they only look good in CONCACAF. Because that used to be for a while, I remember, back when they first started competing in, you know, Copa America and whatnot, saying, oh, yeah, because CONCACAF. But it's been like, what, 20, over 20 years, 30 years now, competing regularly at top level, you know, going off, you know, facing off against the biggest teams. So they're a team that they hold their own no matter where they're at.
What's up with these coaches throwing jabs at Mexico? There was another one, I think the Panamanian coach saying, yeah, I mean, we look forward to playing against some Mexicans, you know, basically indicating that, you know, we're using naturalizados and Funes Mori's not Mexican. so, I mean, it's just a lot of salt,
it's just,
man.
They're just trying to get in their heads, you know?
What's going on? Chicky's, I think he's switching. Hello?
Hey, you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm switching because I couldn't hear my audio.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like we can hear you fine, but I guess the YouTube stream wasn't able to pick up your voice. So Ricardo was complaining about that. Shout out to Ricardo. Saying Mexico should have won 2-0. They grabbed Funes Mori midair and pulled him down by the shirt. Ticos cochinos. Mexico isn't look pretty to look at, but they're efficient for about 75 minutes a game. Okay. Yeah. All I know is Funes Mori, or they're calling him Fayez Mori now. I think he's getting a lot of criticism for being the striker and not being from Mexico. It's like you already have a bunch of people like against you at minute 0-0 before, you know, the game even kicks off. And then when you miss, it's even more magnified. But I mean, I remember Chicharito missing left and right, man. So I feel like this is just another person to just put the blame on, but I think he's been playing fine. I do think Henry Martin came through for us against Jamaica. And I don't know, for this game, I would maybe switch things up. Unfortunately, we did lose Alexis Vega. He got injured pretty badly. I don't really know when his, you know, if he's going to be out for the year, out for the season. It looked really bad, but I don't know. We'll have to see. But that is...
what they say, torn Achilles? Or
I don't know if it was, you know, somebody tweeted that, but I don't think that was true. But yeah, I think they've sent him back to Guadalajara for observation or something.
Yeah, that's the quote I was talking about, the Panamanian talking about playing against one of the 10 Mexicans and one Argentinian. And that was pretty funny, and it's actually true. But then apparently, and I don't know how accurate it is, we still said that Panama has like several naturalized or, you know, mixed cultured players as well. So, but
if only there was a way to find out that info.
Who's gonna look into Panama stuff? Like Panama can, like, in my opinion,
it takes 2 minutes.
Well, they're barely putting together a team, a professional team. They could grab from whoever they need. But they're the least of my concerns. But Until they beat Mexico.
That's a weak sauce, that whole 10 Mexicans, 1 RG. It's very weak sauce. It's not like the other teams have never, you know, had players from other countries. They've played with naturalizados.
It's just antic. But it's good. Yeah. It's good. I like to hear it.
And it's one. I could imagine if it was four or five, but just one. That's just, you know, he's just trying to mess with them. If he could get in, you know, in Funes Mori's head, he did his job.
Yeah, I can see what Jaime is saying about him. Like, I think he is doing well. If not, I mean, every now and then you're gonna miss. But Mexican fans seems to just criticize every single like play. Like if one person doesn't do well, that's why they hate Chaka. Like he'll make one mistake, and they'll like rail on him. But like if Acha makes a mistake, they'll be like, oh, never, you know, don't pay attention to that. It's just Acha.
Yeah, it's just he's under more scrutiny, you know.
Well, that was, you know, I got the good example for that because that was Massa.
Yeah.
You know, they always call him a tronco. They, you know, they said he sucked. And he went on to have one of the best careers. So if you look at across the board, Mexican defenders, he's, you know.
Yeah, he went to Europe.
Not at Rafa Márquez level, but he played, what, 3 World Cups? You know, he played in Europe. He won league titles. Is he
the only player to win a title with Chivas and America, or am I tripping?
No, that could be. Good question, though.
It's a good trivia question.
Yeah. Could.
Look that up.
I'll never forgive him though, because he did say that the title with America was sweeter, and he also like flipped off somebody, right? He was like flipped off the media or something.
Oh, I vaguely remember that.
But yeah, I mean,
speaking of America though, I have to come to the defense of not Club America, but United States of America.
Let's hear it.
You sort of dissed on the U.S. national team, tying the first two games and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
I will say it is early still for them. But we can't forget that they just whipped up on Mexico. And yes, they're on they're not on the right path. Their players are have been hyped this whole time, and now they're having a little bit of trouble. Now the media is sort of getting onto them, fans are getting onto them, and now this is sort of like pressure that Mexico has had this whole time. I don't think it's still at the level because it's not like U.S. national news and stuff.
Well,
but
here's the thing, though. I think this is what's happening: is like his tactics are finally getting exploited, because against Mexico, like let's not forget the two games that they lost, the two finals. I mean, it took overtime, and it also took a last minute ditch effort. Both of them were from set pieces, you know? So it's like, I think that worked out in those like knockout games, but in this round robin or whatever, this qualifier, this octagon, I don't even know. There's like 8 teams now. I think like his tactics are starting to get exposed a little bit. And I think that's where the reality is starting to check in for the USA. They're like, oh shit, you know, we're not going to be able to get away with this, you know, for this qualifier.
Yeah, well, you know what? I have a problem with Chiqui's word usage. You said whooped. Two, winning with a OT and penalty kicks is not. I don't know, that doesn't go in my definition of whooped.
Well, one of the games was definitely not their full starting lineup.
Yeah, but it doesn't. You make it seem like, you know, they had Mex against the ropes, you know,
or that
they outplayed them, and that wasn't the case in either game. And I think that's part of like people forget how, and then both games were here in the U.S. So you kind of forget how they won, and it gets, it just leads to the more hype. So you have this young squad, they all play in Europe. They beat Mexico twice. So the expectation is super high that, well, they could beat Mex, which technically they didn't, not in regulation time. Then these other teams are going to be, you know, weak sauce, and we're going to, we're just going to, shouldn't have a difficult time. And it's.
So I'll retract and I'll say not whooped, but they couldn't handle the U.S. Mexico couldn't handle. Okay, I think the U.S., you know, they have good talent, individual talent. But like you said, their cohesion and their tactics might not be up to par. And even long ago, not long ago, but years back, when Pulisic was coming on the scene, everyone was like, oh, Pulisic is going to, like, dominate. And yes, he would show flashes, but as a whole team, there wasn't, like, a real danger. And now with all these other players that are, like, really hyped up and really good playing in Europe and everything, they're still not, like, the huge danger as a team against Mexico. But still, Mexico isn't able to impose, you know, their will and, like, actually win the game in these past two tournaments against the U.S. So even with bad tactics on Berhalter's side and, you know, the lack of cohesion through these star players, Mexico couldn't get through them because of Tata. And that's, I think, a large part of it is Tata. And we saw that with Jamaica when I was like, man, this is like what Ron says, this should be a cat and mouse game. And get them to push out, but Jamaica was just bunkering, and Mexico can't handle that after all these years. Mexico still don't know what to do against the bunker. So that's the my complaints are more on the Mexican side than hyping up the U.S. national team.
I do find it really funny. I'm gonna see if I can find it. They interviewed you know, the men's national team after they drew against Canada at home. See if I can find the clip. It was pretty funny.
And then after the match, the how it played out, give us your thoughts on what happened on tonight.
Yeah, listen, I mean, they came here and they wanted to sit back. They didn't want to play, and that was easy to see from the eye. And it's always hard playing against that, you know? You get a couple chances, you have to score them. And then they go the other way and score a goal. And I think we had so many better chances than them. We hit the post.
They said, yeah, they didn't want to play. They just sat back and defended. I'm like, huh, that sounds familiar. That sounds vaguely familiar. You mean like when you guys play against Mexico, you sit back and defend?
What does that mean? What does that mean, though?
What?
It means that they're, it seems like the U.S., so they're complaining the same way Mexico complained. So they are like the mini Mexico or the Mexico from back in the day, which means they're the ones that are controlling the pace. And the other teams have to bunker against them. Whereas back in the day, it was all the teams had to bunker against Mexico. So U.S. is sort of progressing in that aspect to where now they're imposing. They need to do the offense, and they're not the ones bunkering. They're the ones coming out to the attack. That's just like an indication of their increased skill level individually on their players.
Yeah, I mean, it's playing in El Salvador to start off the qualifiers, I mean, that's not easy on anybody. So, I mean, I can give them the pass there, but drawing at home to Canada, that is a no-no. That is a no-no. You got to win your home games.
No, I mean, you do have to win them, but again, like Max, having difficult time against Jamaica. So it's not...
Yeah, but they got the win.
The expectation that you could just beat them, huh?
But they got the win at the end of the day. They found it. They found victory.
No, I know, but it just kind of shows just how difficult it could be. And Canada, again, because we're thinking Canada, and then we're just seeing a team that historically, you know, they're pretty weak, but they've been working their national team. They've been putting a lot of work for a while now, and because of course they're gonna be part host too, so that's one of the things. But they've been doing a lot.
Alfonso Davies, so good.
Aside from the two MLS teams, they have their own league now. So that's more players that they have available compared to before. So I mean, they're doing their part too. And as you know, we don't keep track on those teams because we don't follow them. But then when the tournaments like this roll around, our image of them are still from like 4 years ago. So you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like a girl. She's like the ugly duck. And then you see her at a party 4 years later, and she's all hot. You're like, when did this happen? And so.
We saw that last time, though. When I think John went to Canada, right? To cover a Mexico-Canada match. And that was actually a pretty good Canada team that Mexico won, but they gave some fight. So this Canada team might be actually pretty good. And
El Salvador is even if they're not good, you know, if you're putting in a lot of work into your team, they're putting in more money to play more amistosos and bring in better trainers, not just coach, but like even not just manager, but coaches. So yeah, you're eventually going to have a team that is more stronger than if they're just.
Yeah.
What?
That's making me come up with a prediction though, man. See, I think the US had the tougher of the two games than Mexico did. And so I think Mexico might lose to Panama, dude.
I don't know about that.
Anyway. We'll see, man.
I'm gonna have to stop you there.
same with Panama. We were talking about them. I don't know if it was in the podcast or in the DM group. We were talking about how when they started like building their soccer program and how they were sending players to Colombia, you know, they had the Colombian players and then they were bringing in Colombian coaches, you know, the managers. And that's a big, you know, reason they ended up becoming contenders in the region. That's another team. They sort of went down because a lot of those players got old. They aged out, but I do think as long as they keep at it, I do feel they're going to be one of the stronger teams.
Yeah, we'll have to.
We remember Panama.
Go ahead.
We remember Panama from one of them previous Gold Cup games. They had Mexico shaking in their boots, and then they claimed they were cheating. Well, that was with that ref also that has horrible, horrible calls and didn't take control of the game.
If I'm not mistaken, wait, who did Mexico lose to in that Gold Cup? I think it was it Panama or?
No, they beat Panama on a penalty, a controversial penalty.
But
then they lost to Jamaica. I think they lost to Jamaica, right, at the end?
There was one that they lost in the semis. I forgot who that was. I think it was. I think it was in 2013. In 2013, Mexico lost to Panama, and then USA ended up beating them in the final. Yeah, 2013. But we'll see how it goes. I think they should have enough to get the victory. I want to see now that I've seen them win two in a row. I want to see them go for the third. Panama beat they did beat Jamaica 3-0 and they did tie out Costa Rica. So I mean we've had the similar opponents, the same opponents, and we'll have to wait and see. The only thing is Alexis Vega is out, and I think Edson Alvarez, accumulation of yellows, he's also out. So we'll be without those two players, but I'm sure they'll get the job done. USA and Honduras play tomorrow. And I remember that game in Denver in the Nations League. And it took 89th minute for USA to beat Honduras. They were giving them a hard time. And let us not forget in Guadalajara when they had the tournament to qualify for the Olympics. Honduras beat USA in the semifinal. So I would say this is going to be a pretty evenly matched game. And I can see Honduras winning, especially because they're hosting.
Oh, against the U.S.?
Mm-hmm. I would definitely not sleep on Honduras, man. They've been...
And the United States, as we know, as of late, or as recent news comes about, might have a split locker room or a little bit of drama going on with McKinney and Pulisic and maybe some injuries as well. You guys know what I'm talking about?
We'll have to wait and see. I really don't really keep up with the U.S. team and all their drama. There's another room.
You guys hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I wasn't sure. I got dropped.
Oh.
I wasn't sure. I was back in. All right. Carry on. Good, sir.
There's another.
You don't know what happened. You don't know what happened with McKinney?
No.
Oh, you're missing out, Jaime. I thought you would have been all over this. This is just perfect for you.
What's going on?
Dude, there's cheek clapping. Bachelorette party crashing.
Really?
I'll let Cheeky say it.
Well, okay, so this is all, I don't know if anything's been confirmed or whatnot, but apparently Weston McKinney, well, he was sent back to Juventus by the coach. No one knew why. It was for breaking COVID protocols.
Oh.
But no one knew the details. Landon Donovan in a Grant Wall podcast came out and said that he knew why, but he was going to say. And then everyone started raging because journalists were supposed to divulge everything, and they weren't divulging anything.
Oh.
Apparently that's the way you do things. And then rumors came out today saying that Weston McKinney invited one person into the bubble, whatever.
Mm.
And that person may have been Kristen Pulisic's sister.
Nice.
Or some other person, like some other player's like cousin or something. I forget what it was.
Ooh.
So yeah, that might have been the case. And everything started blowing up after that.
Hey, keep the family close.
They were also saying he crashed a bachelor party or something like that.
Okay. Yeah.
So he was out partying, and then apparently I think Juve is trying to get rid of him. So like everything's coming down on this dude.
Let's see what she looks like.
But Jaime, because I know you get great joy at watching the Nats lose.
Yikes.
So I think Pulisic's not going to be available.
Mm.
That Weston dude got sent back, and the Dest, I think, is injured.
Oh.
And then the Giovanni dude, Serena.
Gio.
Yeah.
So they're gonna be without like four starters.
Oh, then they're definitely getting their cheeks clapped in Honduras then. For sure. I could see that happening easily.
Man, it did surprise me. Well, I could see them going not to play if they're in San Pedro Sula. They're not going to want to play, but I feel that it's a young squad, man. I am seeing flashbacks of when Mex had their golden generation and there was all this expectations, and this is kind of similar, but it's a very young team, and they want results as if they're a finished product. And I guess that beating Mex is sort of biting them in the ass.
Yep.
Because the whole region was watching. So now they were like taking them more serious or paying more attention, like you say, part of like cracking their tactics and whatnot. And so that I think it's hurting them a bit. But it at the same time, you know, making them stronger. But let's see, because you could just tell how much faith there is in Berhalter, because even though he got those results that should have been huge for them, especially, you know, beating Max twice, they don't seem to care, because, of course, the threat of missing out on the second World Cup, you know, is still casting a huge shadow over them. So that's the big fear. But I feel like they're like, thinking, okay, you bring in another coach, all of a sudden this team's gonna be playing tiki taka, and I don't think that's the case. They could change the coach, and I don't think much will change because it's still a very young team.
Yeah, it's gonna be a long qualifier. There's 8 teams this time, you know, so there's gonna be 14 games for three direct spots and then a fourth, playoff. So.
They can have that fourth.
It's going to be a long thing, but obviously getting off to a great start is very important. I do want to add, there is a rumor going on that Tata has plans to bring in a second naturalizado by the name of Alexis Canelo.
The Santos defender, correct?
No, he's the striker for Toluca.
Oh, what am I thinking of then? Because I was hearing there's... Oh, no, that guy was posting it.
You're talking about the Brazilian from Santos?
Yeah, I forget his name, but he was like kind of promoting himself. I don't know who that Canelo guy is.
Doria. You're talking about Doria. Mateus Doria.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
With strikers, it just goes to show the you know, it's a shame with the whole Vela thing, and it's already, you know, broken record. No use in mentioning that. And also with Chicha, and then Raul. So that kind of sucks for Tata, where that should have been a problem, where you have an abundance of strikers. And it's a problem of who do you play to now you can't. The problem is who can step up and you know, take over that spot. So dude has to be going after naturalizados. And you really shouldn't, our fans shouldn't really hate on him. It speaks to the league. There's just not that many players. And we've talked about this here ad nauseum already. Again, broken record again. Puros discos rotos aquí. Same thing. That's what happens when the league goes off foreigners, you know? So there's not that many players. That's what you're stuck with.
I don't agree with Alexis Canelo. I mean, we have strikers.
Who would you put, Jaime?
I'm waiting for... Everybody's waiting for Santiago, his debut, you know, now that he's at Newcastle. I think it's time that we put a bow tie on this thing, because until he gets actually, you know, on the pitch, he'll still be eligible to play for both USA and Mexico. His butt buddy Pepe also didn't get any minutes, so you know he's still eligible to technically play for both countries until he gets his substitution. But Alexis Canelo, I mean, I get it. You know, he's been at Toluca for a while. He's got a good goal record, but I just feel like it's a slap to the face to have to wait on this guy to get papers and then call him up when there's plenty of talent. You also have our national all-time goal scorer who just did an interview with Manchester United, and he was talking about, you know, his starts, his upbringing, and you know, he wants to return to the national team, and I think, you know, you shouldn't leave him out for Alexis Canelo. I think Chicharito could still be useful off the bench.
That's more ammo to get rid of Tata, man. He's trying to grab all these players.
But Chicky's really quick. How do you know that's just Tata doing that? You know, there could be a veto on Chicha. He's the one that he's instigated stuff.
Well, they need to bring in Piojo back to take on the reins, because he's no títere, man. He ain't going to let no one pull his strings. And if Tata's letting people pull his strings, that's another negative for him, man. He doesn't need to be letting people telling him what to do. If there's no forwards, as there's no strikers for Mexico, then why are you disregarding Chicharito? Why are you not doing everything you can and saying, to get Carlos Vela even back? And there are like players. You don't just, if you say like all our forwards suck, you don't just try to go get a naturalized. You try
exactly.
to you use what you have. You use the sucky players that you have because that's what your team is.
We haven't even used Macias yet. He's in Getafe. I honestly think this is Tata's harebrained idea because, you know, Alexis is from Argentina, and I'm sure
he wants to start you, bros.
I'm sure Tata and Funes Mori go get mate in the morning, and you know, I'm sure they have their connection. And so he's got more trust in his own people. You know how it goes.
Actually, this is another great thought I just had. I'm sure if Tata was at Chivas, he would say, we're at a really disadvantage because we can only have Mexican players.
Oh, God.
Like,
yes, everybody's crucifying Vucetich for saying that.
For saying the obvious.
But that was said by almost every coach that's coached Mexico, Chivas.
So, yeah, they said it just in, Matias said it best, which is like, and I'm giving him credit.
Even
shows like
even Johan Cruyff says that, you know, it's like it's the obvious.
Yeah, but Matias, you have to like how he said it. He said, just coaching the Mexican players, you have to think two or three times harder. That's basically being at a disadvantage. You have to do two, three times the work. But then he added, but I love this. I love doing this. So I think that's what Puse was missing. I'm at a disadvantage, but I like this. I like this challenge.
He forgot to add the little extra piece there.
Oh, wait. What did you just say? You just said Almeida said it?
Almeida said that just being with the Mexican players, he had to work two, three times harder.
Yeah.
But then he added, but I like this. He said, I like doing that.
Yeah. I need to get that screenshot for me again.
Ricardo says they need to naturalize Doria, the Santos center back. Doria is better than Montes. I wouldn't mind him playing for Mexico. He's got good size, very disciplined during games. And he's Brazilian. I mean, have we ever had a Brazilian naturalizado apart from Cinha?
Yeah, the Pumas guy.
Who?
Blonde dude.
Oh, Leandro.
There you go, Leandro Augusto.
Oh, wow, I forgot about that guy.
That thing was legendary.
He was for León.
No, he won with Pumas too.
I remember, I could be wrong, but he played for his first team in Mexico was León, and then he went to Pumas.
There's this goal that he scored. It was from end to end. It was a golazo, man.
Oh, yeah?
You still dream with that goal.
He just thinks of the gold, Goldilocks hair, you know, he's sold on it.
I don't remember that goal.
So during these international matches, there was a friendly between Chivas and America. America won 2-0 in the Cotton Bowl. It was a packed stadium. So that was going on. Another defeat for Vucetich, and I feel like they're starting to sharpen the knife. I feel like he might be getting the boot. Who knows?
For a Molero, hey, mate, come on now.
I mean, it's not helping his case. I'll tell you that.
It's a Molero, man. He needs if he has to like try stuff or try players or test tactics. This is the time. And now with no Alexis Vega, it's things just got more difficult.
Yeah, that is
true. But we've said it already. We would have to see Peláez step off first. Buse would have to like.
Mm-hmm.
There would have to be a complete breakdown. And I did hear that Chivas was like upset with the Buse interview, and I do feel it was that. At Tudene kind of set him up with that gotcha moment. Seems like they were looking for something because then Tudene ran that interview with Moncho saying, oh, this bothers me. Like he changed the narrative a bit. If you can't win with Chivas, then you shouldn't be coaching this team. And yeah. That's like, they're just setting it up here.
Yeah, I agree.
So I do feel like if you're at a team like Chivas, you have to be very careful who you know, what kind of interview and all that you give.
I was looking at this list. Goal scorers ever since Javier left, leading the pack is Chucky Lozano with 5, Raul Jimenez with 5, Orbelin Pineda with 5, Funes Mori with 4, HH with 4, Lainez with 3, Henry Martin with 3, Uriel Antonio with 3, Macias with 3, and Tecatito Corona with 2. So these are the players holding it down for Mexico. Funes Mori scored 4, man. He's already up there. It's crazy.
Yeah, no one's gonna remember those though if he can't get, you know, a goal in qualifiers.
I agree. Good news with Alexis Vega, it's just a sprain, so he's estimated to be out for 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay, not bad, yeah. Man. I was already
hitting
breaks.
Whoever tweeted that he had a blown Achilles, man, you guys need to stop with that.
I'm telling you, man, Chivas is all, it's, you know, it's clickbait. Any negative info they could throw, they will throw it because it's, you know, it's easy bait. It's easy to get the fans, the Chi Hermanos, all riled up.
Ricardo is really happy that America won that meaningless friendly.
is he an Americanista?
Or he said, I really enjoyed America porking Chivas in that friendly. Vamos, America.
Oh, snap. I didn't know.
We can no longer be friends, Ricardo.
I thought he was a gentleman of culture. I'm going to have to rethink.
There was a video in the DMs that it's inappropriate, but yeah, it was funny.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, this is how you say this in Spanish. This is how you say this in Brazilian. This is how you say this.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't expecting Chivas to beat America. I think they're one of the contenders for the title. They had a really great season last year. I think what did them in was their own, you know, the partying, the players got ahead of it, you know, the escorts and all that. It's sort of like, you know, it was like that meme with the dude on the bike that trips himself.
Oh yeah.
that was Ame last season. So it'll be interesting how they do now.
Yeah, I mean, the actual Super Clásico is not too far away. It's going to happen on September 25th, match day 10. So we're just a few weeks away from the Super Clásico. But yeah, Mexico will face Panama tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Be there or be square, and then Liga MX action returns on Friday. So really no time for a recovery. Pumas are going to play Chivas, so that should be a fun one. One of these
Where
two
is
teams.
That game at?
It's in Mexico City.
Ciudad Universitaria. Okay. And then Pumas, on that note, Miguel Mejia Barón is back. So he's like a
director or something? President.
Yeah, he took over. He has a spot now.
Oh, okay.
Chiquis, you know, he's a Puma.
Yeah, he's sports vice president.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know what we'll see what happens. I don't expect.
No faith on the good doctor, Chiquis?
Maybe. I mean, we'll see. It's all about, like, I mean, Pumas is Pumas. They need to either get their fourth of Africa in order, start pumping out some better players, or open up the pocketbook a little bit more.
Oh, the pocketbook. Yeah, definitely the pocketbook.
That's the whole problem with Pumas.
Miguel Mejía Barrón, nuevo vicepresidente deportivo de la institución. Okay. Let's see. He was a player in the 60s and 70s, and he coached many teams in Liga MX, including Pumas, and he made them champions in 1990-1991. He was also the coach of the national team?
Yeah, 94.
No shit. Hey,
were you even born?
I don't know. I didn't know who he was, you know? I'm just looking him up right now. That's crazy. Okay.
No, yeah, and he was assistant to Tuca at Tigres. So he was with Tuca. He was Tuca's coach. And then he took, in 94, Tuca was one of his assistants.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, those guys worked together for a long time.
He's 77. This dude's old, man. He doesn't need this. It's bad for his health.
Man, but his position that he has, you know, just advisor.
And low stress.
Yeah, you want players like that. Chivas should be full of players like that. It's kind of sad that they don't. I mean, you could see Real Madrid, you know, they had Baldano there for many years. They had the other guy. What's his name? I keep forgetting him. I remember his nickname, La Saeta Rubia. Another Argentine. God damn it. What was his name? He was one of their first, like, superstars. He was, damn. Here he is. It was Di Stefano. There you go. Alfredo Di Stefano. They had that dude. You know, these teams will bring in some of their like icons and stick around. Chivas just wheels their in, like at the start of the season. They would like parade what's left of the Campeonísimo. And I was like, that dude just kind of, I don't like that.
But they got them playing Moletos out here in Napa and stuff.
Oh, those are other Campeonísimos. But
yeah, there's a bunch of retired or ex-players that go around small cities in the States collecting monies and doing appearances, playing these partidos moleros. It's what we do with our legends, man.
Well, they're doing it themselves because, you know, it's those matches, Chivas is not, the club is not, it's not sponsoring them. So they, if you notice, they wear like a pirata shirt.
Yeah, they do.
They should, see, and that's even sad for me to say that. They should be hooking them up and saying, yeah,
I know, right? Help
you promote this. You know, some of these dudes need to make their car payment or whatever. And it's you know,
that's what,
let's promote them.
That's what Ricardo said. He said Mejía Barón is back stealing all those Puma bucks. Hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully that's not the case.
Puma bucks is sort of like Monopoly money. It's
not legal tender.
It's
legal bucks is just like only a few though. It's like a roll of bill with like a 20 on the outside and a bunch of ones in the middle.
Well, boys, that pretty much covers all the topics we had for tonight. Do we have any closing thoughts before we wrap up episode 301?
Oh, man. Let me see. Closing thoughts. I sort of had one, but I think we could see a bit of what we talked about last pod. How if you have a lot of your players that that they play together, how those teams tend to do better than if you could have players in really good teams, but they're all spread out. And we're kind of seeing this with you know, the U.S., they have their Eurostars, but they all play different teams. And this is right now, Mex team doing good is mostly, correct me if I'm wrong, lads, this is mostly Liga MX players.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, just pointing that out, just throwing that out there.
I mean, when we talk about our golden generation, we'll not even come close to the current Belgian squad that, you know, they're the golden generation, man. I mean, we'd be lucky enough to have one of those world-class players, and they have a bunch. And even they can't win any silverware. It just goes to show how impossible it is to win at the international level. It's not easy. It's not just you don't win on paper. This isn't FIFA. You can't just put a bunch of really talented players and here you go, figure it out. Like it's so hard to do. So I think the team, I mean, the fans should be grateful that we're not at a bad start to the road of Qatar. 2 out of 2 victories and maybe a, you know, potential third. I think it should be smooth sailing. What you got for me, Cheekies?
My final thoughts are I think Panama has a decent shot at getting the win against Mexico. Also, the United States, I think, are going to come back and make the World Cup. They'll be all right.
But how do you see them against Honduras? You know, going in with missing players and all this drama.
That might be
how do you see that playing out? Because think about it. If they fail to get points, they're going to be stuck at 2. And then who do they play after that?
That might be a blessing. They might actually, you know,
fire
up
their coach or what?
They'll fire themselves up. They might actually get, you know, motivated, understand that this is serious. And hopefully the pressure doesn't crumble them and they come out and do okay. I think they might still get a bad result against Honduras. But I think down the line, they'll come together after a break and eventually qualify for the World Cup. And I'm sort of hoping for that because if they don't, if they fail again, then all these Mexican-American fans are going to be insoportables, man.
Okay, well, see, this is the road. They play Honduras tomorrow away, and then after that, I do think they have like a slump buster in Jamaica. They're hosting Jamaica, who's been one of the worst teams, so that could put him back up. But then they play on the road to Panama, and that could be another tough game, followed by Costa Rica at home, and then they will close it with Mexico at home. So I do think
November 12th.
I do think they will have to, if they lose, if they were to lose, possibilities are pointing quite high. Make, you know, they need to have a strong, after, you know, they will have to beat Jamaica and then get as much points from their next two games before playing Mex.
I think it's harder not to qualify than it is to qualify if you're the U.S. national team. Like, they have to really, like, try hard not to win these games to, like, not make the World Cup. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy.
I don't know, Jaime. I think you're discounting some of these rivals, man. I think you're taking some credit from them.
I think eventually, you know, Costa Rica will bounce back, you know. So, yeah, who knows? Maybe things will get complicated over there for that fourth spot. But I personally think, you know, Mexico, Canada, and U.S. will make it. They definitely want to do everything they can to go to the Qatar And then because they're going to be hosting next, you know, so you want to look good for your dress rehearsal. You don't want to just be like the country that automatically qualified to the World Cup because they host it. You know, they want to prove to themselves that they can qualify without any help. Ricardo's asking us when we'll be back on Spaces because he finally made a Twitter account. He wants to hop in on the conversation.
I don't know if I can, but I was thinking maybe tomorrow during the game, but I don't know what's going on with you guys.
I probably won't be able to do it tomorrow. So then
maybe for the next one, since there's a game, they're playing, World Cup game.
Yeah, we'll go ahead.
If he's got WhatsApp, we could get him on either way. Like, if he wants to get WhatsApp and we do it this way again, or if he wants to get Discord and we
can end that way, like 20 apps.
Nah, we'll hop back on Twitter Spaces. Not sure, maybe for next episode. I'm sure we can do it.
Yeah, but if you do have WhatsApp, shoot the Cantina account a message, and then we could do it through there.
Yeah. If you want to say with your chest, man, this will be your platform to be able to talk to us, give us your thoughts. We definitely don't talk about America as much on this podcast, so maybe you could be our voice for that. But I want to thank everyone for joining us tonight, episode 301. Let's hope Mexico gets a perfect 3 out of 3 tomorrow against Panama, and hopefully Honduras beats USA just for the lulz. But hope everyone has a great night, and we'll catch you next week.